Translation: thus, the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. Purport. Attaining scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead means seeing one's own self simultaneously. As far as the identity of the living being as spirit self is concerned, there are a number of speculations and misgivings. The materialist does not believe in the existence of the spirit self, and empiric philosophers believe in the impersonal feature of the whole spirit without individuality of the living beings. But the transcendentalists affirm that the soul and the supersoul are two different identities, qualitatively one, but quantitatively different. There are many other theories, but all these different speculations are at once cleared off as soon as Sri Krishna is realized in truth by the process of bhakti yoga. Sri Krishna is like the sun, and the materialistic speculations about the absolute truth are like the darkest midnight. As soon as the Krishna sun is arisen within one's heart, the darkness of materialistic speculations about the absolute truth and the living beings is at once cleared off. In the presence of the sun, the darkness cannot stand, and the relative truths that were hidden within the dense darkness of ignorance become clearly manifested by the mercy of Krishna, who is residing in everyone's heart as the Supersoul. In the Bhagavad Gita 10.11, the Lord says that in order to show special favor to his pure devotees, he personally eradicates the dense darkness of all misgivings by switching on the light of pure knowledge within the heart of a devotee. Therefore, because of the personality of Godhead's taking charge of illuminating the heart of his devotee, certainly a devotee engaged in his service in transcendental love cannot remain in darkness. He comes to know everything of the absolute and the relative truths. The devotee cannot remain in darkness, and because a devotee is enlightened by the personality of Godhead, his knowledge is certainly perfect. This is not the case for those who speculate on the absolute truth by dint of their own limited power of approach. Perfect knowledge is called parampara, or deductive knowledge coming down from the authority to the submissive and to the submissive oral receiver, who is bona fide by service and surrender. One cannot challenge the authority of the Supreme and know him also at the same time. He reserves the right of not being exposed to such a challenging spirit of an insignificant spark of the whole, a spark subjected to the control of illusory energy. The devotees are submissive, and therefore the transcendental knowledge descends from the personality of Godhead to Brahma, and from Brahma to his sons and disciples in succession. This process is helped by the supersoul within such devotees. That is the perfect way of learning transcendental knowledge. This enlightenment perfectly enables the devotee to distinguish spirit from matter, because the knot of spirit and matter is untied by the Lord. This knot is called ahankara, and it falsely obliges a living being to become identified with matter. As soon as this knot is loosened, therefore, all the clouds of doubt are at once cleared off. One sees his master and fully engages himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, making a full termination of the chain of fruitive action. In material existence, a living being creates his own chain of fruitive work and enjoys the good and bad effects of those actions life after life. But as soon as he engages himself in the loving service of the Lord, he at once becomes free from the chain of karma. His actions no longer create any reaction. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimata Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nithinamine Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvashesha Shunyavari Bhaskatyare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This verse comes in a series of verses. It actually ends a series of verses which describe the process of Krishna consciousness very succinctly. Srila Jiva Goswami ends his Bhakti Sandarbha, his dissertation on the, on Bhakti, with this series of verses. I'm sure that you have heard it many times, lectures on this, so I will just give a brief summary. This series starts with a verse which speaks about the sword of knowledge. The sword in hand, intelligent man cuts through the binding knots of reactionary work by remembering the personality of Godhead. Therefore, who will not pay attention to his message? Most of the people will not pay attention to this message because they are not qualified. Then the next verse addresses the subject matter, how to become qualified. It says one should serve devotees, and in that association of devotees one can get ruchi or a taste for hearing and remembering Krishna. The example of Narada Muni is given. The power of this hearing of all the nine devotional processes, the power of hearing is described. It is said that the Lord becomes activated in the heart by someone who by hearing. When he sees someone hears about them, he actually cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart. He takes care of our purification, in other words. And then the remaining verses describe how this hearing should be done, what exactly to hear. The beautiful Bhagavatam should be heard, and simultaneously this service to the devotees or the association of the devotees should be cultivated, and then all these anattas are destroyed in the heart, and then a devotee can come to Naishtiki Bhakti or fixed devotional service, where the modes of material nature slowly loosen their grip. Then the devotee comes on the transcendental platform of Vishuddha Sattva, where he has a realization, or as Prabhupada says, positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. And then the section ends by taking up the theme of the introductory verse, which was that one should cut the knot of karma. It says, "Bidyate hridaya grantis," what we have said today. Thus the knot is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces, and the chain of fruitive action is terminated when one sees the self as master. Good. This is the section And Srila Prabhupada has explained a little on this. I would like now to do something that is to take a certain perspective on this verse. A little while ago, I was interviewed by a journalist in Zagreb who had read a little in spiritual philosophy, mainly of in Buddhism, and he said, when it is known, when you cut the false ego, being the enjoyer in this world, if you cut that, a tremendous energy is set free. How do you deal in your movement with ego problems? Because you also have a process to cut the knot in the heart, the false in the ego. How do you deal with it? And he gave an illustration. When he came back from one journey, he was sitting in a restaurant ordering a fruit juice, and when the waiter came, he called the waiter a Negro. This is a derogatory remark. You Negro. And the waiter first tried to tolerate it, but when he called him a second time a Negro, the waiter's ego was so disturbed that he had to release this and punch him in the nose. Whomp. So he said, this was my experiment on cutting false ego. I think we all agree it was not as tough as what is going on in a real sadhan process. But from this background, he said, how do you deal with cutting the false ego? There must be many disturbances in your movement when people react to this process. Said, how true, and so on. But I also began to think about something which I would like to present in this morning's lecture. I think we all know when we are practicing deep spiritual life, when we really go and want to purify ourselves, this knot in the heart, this false ego, is becoming extremely disturbed, and we develop again material attractions, and we, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we commit offenses mainly because there are disturbances in the ego. Why should you blaspheme a devotee? Because you the false ego is there. Why should you maintain material attachments? Because, yes, you are thinking you are the enjoyer. Why should you not pay attention to the holy name? Well, because you have an apathy towards Krishna. You're more interested in what you think you are, and so on and so forth. So this working on the false ego requires a lot of sincerity, and now comes the word, also enthusiasm. Enthusiasm in spiritual life is the word is made out of two syllables, ut and sahar. Ut means out of something, or transcendental, and sahar means together with. We are Vaishnavas, and we immediately, when we hear together with, then the word Krishna is immediately implied. With whom else is a soul related eternally? So, Utsaham is a very important feeling, a very important strength also in devotional service. It means a feeling of togetherness with the Lord. Now it's very interesting to note that this actually will destroy ultimately the knot of karma. This being together with the Lord, this feeling of in theos, that's in a Greek word, en theos, in God, residing or being in God. That's the source of the strength which is required to solve the knot of false ego in the heart. You will think now our lecturer is taking a lot of liberty in the explanation and drawing many things on the hairs to make his point, but listen with amazement. I will read to you a verse now, which you please look at the board while I'm reading this verse, especially at the fourth line. Vidyate hridaya grantis chityante sarva sankshaya kshiyante chasya karmani mayi drishte kilatmani. Have you noticed something? Of course. It's almost analogous verse which is quoted, which is spoken by Lord Krishna in the 11th canto, chapter 20. It's verse 30. And here it says, it's actually the same until we come to the last line. And let me read it to you in the words of this translation. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive action is terminated when one sees Lord Krishna as the master. Yes, this to see Lord Krishna as the master, to Prabhupada explains it in his purport, this subject matter. He says, Sri Krishna is like the sun, and the materialistic speculations about the absolute truth are like the darkest midnight. As soon as the Krishna sun is arisen within one's heart, the darkness of materialistic speculations about the absolute truth and the living beings is at once cleared off. In the presence of the sun, the darkness cannot stand, and the relative truths that were hidden within the dense darkness of ignorance become clearly manifested by the mercy of Krishna, who is residing in everyone's heart as the Super Soul. Yes. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives some very nice inspirations or insights into this Utsahan, being together with the Lord, seeing the Lord as master. He says that enthusiasm is really the soul of faith. Without enthusiasm, the faith is meaningless, like a body without soul. Just like the body is invigorated and brought into the field of action by the presence of the soul, your faith is invigorated and brought into this ecstatic realm of living faith by the soul of enthusiasm. We have often done some polemic, which is natural amongst religiously minded people, against the Christians. We have often polemized, oh, you are so attached, you are so compromised with the material world. And the reason we have said is you're not believing really what you have learned in the Bible. This polemic we have to apply to ourselves also. If we have no living faith, no enthusiastic faith, our philosophy will not walk. We will not walk our talk, as Lokanath Maharaj always says. It will remain empty. Our spiritual life, our Krishna consciousness will miss the effulgence of consciousness, of Krishna consciousness. Enthusiasm is so important that Srila Rupa Goswami describes it really as the first of the six principles which he mentions, which lead to the success in bhakti, or the development in bhakti. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that karma, this mentality to gain things, arises from lust towards the material world. Jnana arises from indifference towards the material world. You don't really care so much about it. And bhakti arises from faith in the Supreme Lord. And that's a very interesting definition. So I think we all wish bhakti to come, but bhakti will come only if we have give our faith the soul of enthusiasm. This now is a very interesting discussion, because as devotees we have heard many, many lectures on enthusiasm. Be enthusiastic. Yes, yes, yes. Be enthusiastic. Yes, yes, yes. And we are not always enthusiastic, no matter how well-intentioned the lectures are given. Sometimes we think, oh yes, I was enthusiastic in the beginning, but now it's difficult to remain enthusiastic. Therefore I think this morning we want to go deep into the subject of enthusiasm. First of all, we should understand enthusiasm is a natural quality of the soul. It's not something which we have to import from outside and put onto our psychological structure like a vain grin or something. It is a natural quality which is inherent in the soul. The nature of the spirit soul is to be active, fully active, enthusiastically active in devotional service. If inertia and laziness come into the heart, it is a foreign import. It is not natural. It is a covering of that nice quality. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, for a practicing devotee, this lack of enthusiasm comes from what he describes as carelessness. He doesn't care, or he's different, or not so attentive in his devotional practices, and then he develops this apathy and indifference and dullness in the heart. Now it's very interesting, my dear devotees, as soon as one is enthusiastically doing something, even if the mist of dullness and inertia still lingers on, one becomes the rider on a wave, on a psychological wave. You just do something, try to do something, especially if it is spiritual. You will all of a sudden become empowered by a certain amazing potency. Even in the material field, enthusiasm is effective like pizza eating. When you see someone is eating pizza, you feel that this I can also do. It's somehow my karma that in this life I've met many people of the performing arts, and they all know this one secret. If they enter the stage, they just have to be enthusiastic and they can win the crowd over, because it's infective. It has an enthusiastic delivery, immediately gets to the heart of other people. It is an almost mystical force, this enthusiasm. In spiritual life, we can crank up our motors of enthusiasm Prabhupada said, if you don't feel like dancing, anyways dance. If you don't feel like get up in the morning and do the things as good as you can, and all of a sudden, this infective force of enthusiasm comes and takes over. It is wonderful. It is mystical. And it is when it's in spiritual life applied, extremely spiritual. It gives life to the faith in Krishna consciousness. And it also invokes the presence of the Lord. There is the Srila Prabhupada gives in the sixth chapter of the Gita an interesting story of a sparrow whose eggs were taken away from the ocean. Apparently he had his nest just very close to the ocean, and the powerful ocean came and took it away with its waves. So the sparrow became very, very sad, but then he didn't give in. What he did is he said, let me try as good as I can. And he began to punish the ocean or to get back his eggs. He came with his beak and he began to empty out the ocean. The ocean was laughing. This is an impossible undertaking. This time, Narada Muni came by. You know, I have a secret passion for stories, so I have, of course, looked up where the story is, how there are more details, and now it comes, the details. Narada Muni came by and saw this, and the next time he went reporting to the Lord, the Lord asked him, any news which you want to relate? And he said, yes, and he said something, but then he said, is there anything else in the Narada Muni said, yes, I saw a bird trying to empty out the ocean. But all this time Garuda had stand by just near the Lord in case he needed his transportation services. He heard, just not really attentive. When he heard about the little bird, his curiosity was awakened and he began to hear attentively. And then whilst Narada Muni talked about the little bird at the towards the end, Garuda secretly lifted his wings and went down to the planet Earth to look what was going on, and he saw how the little bird was trying to empty out the oceans by you know, lifting the water and carrying it somewhere. Then Garuda said, well, this is a very good example of enthusiasm. It's very determined also. And he took charge of the issue. He said, mighty ocean, you may laugh, but this is now your time to deliver the eggs. If you don't give the eggs immediately back to the little sparrow, I will take care of my little sister. I will personally empty you out. And just to give weight to his statement, he lifted his wing and made like this. And with his wing, he's very powerful, a lot of sand was mobilized and flown or brought into the ocean. So therefore, when you come to Gujarat, you can still see this land tongue, it is called in German language, Landzunge. How would we call it in proper English? The tongue of land, it's still going into the ocean as a sign for all devotees. Be determined, enthusiastic and in the ocean. So this he said, all right, it was not a big quarrel and there was nothing, and delivered with his watery hands the eggs of the sparrow. Prabhupada said, if you help yourself, God will help you. By being enthusiastic in devotional service, you will invoke the powerful assistance of the Lord or their servants. This is how very, very powerful this force of enthusiasm is. My dear devotees, don't lose your enthusiasm. It's the most important thing which you have. The most important thing. There are so many most important things, but it is a very, very important mood. We can lose the enthusiasm when we see our endeavors are not successful. That is a time when everyone loses enthusiasm. He has tried so much, and look at the result. It is more than discouraging. It is not very good. And at that time, you become the opposite of enthusiasm, depressed maybe, or go inside. And another reason is, for instance, that you see that your karma has not yet been destroyed. You see, somehow or other, your psychophysical patterns have remained the same. After so many years, you are still attached to mundane things, and your attraction to Lord Krishna is flickering, sometimes on, sometimes off. And or you may see the examples of others who you have adored as enthusiastic and determined practitioners, and you see that apparently they also experience difficulties and so on. Such a time one can lose enthusiasm, especially when one is not on the nishta state of devotional service. Anishta bhakti, that is unsteady devotional service, is an area where we very easily can lose enthusiasm. Once we have been freed from anattas and come to the platform of naishtiki bhakti, our enthusiasm will not be sporadic and flickering. It will be steady even in the course of so-called discouragement. Now, what to do when you see you failed? Either internally you are not as advanced as you wished, or maybe even externally something has happened which totally upset you and put you on another track, and what do you feel? Krishna is addressing this situation by saying you should be happy. And when I was reading this, I thought, happy? How? This now must be read with attention. And I will read these verses to you. They are very often quoted. They come from the 11th canto. Yata shradho mat katashu nirvina sarvakarmasu veda dukatmakam kamang paridyage pyanishvaraha tato bhajetamang prita shradhalu drita nishchayaha yoshamanaschatankamang duko dharakanschagarhayam. He describes now a devotee, at least like me, who has some faith and so on, but who can't always be a 100% super successful Vaishnava. Listen. Having awakened faith in the narration of my glories, we all have done this, we have some faith in this, being disgusted with all material activities, yes, put it down, yeah, we want to be devotees, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, yes, in theory, we have heard many lectures about this, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, we just can't be so super duper all the time. My devotee should remain happy. Let be happy, Krishna says, and worship me with great faith and conviction. See, this great faith, living faith, enthusiastic faith and conviction should be there, even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment. I guess eating too much or whatever. There are many, but it goes deeper. It goes into these embarrassing situations which we have seen in our movement, manifested by some of our practitioners. Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. He doesn't want to cover it up. He doesn't think it's all right. He doesn't go on with this and it's a wonderful. He thinks, oh no, yes, what can I do? What can I do? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But he doesn't say, therefore, because the flesh is weak, let me go ahead. He says, no, I'm trying. I will try my best. I will try my best. It's not good. I know. I will. Krishna, please help me. Please give me the strength to engage in your devotional service without this. A very important verse. It's an encouraging verse, but it, note this last sentence. Krishna describes the happy but sometimes failing devotee as someone who sincerely repents such activities. And then he goes on. He goes on with a series of verses where this Vidyate Hridaya Granthis verse is also said. I think you will recognize the verse, but only if you listen with full attention. This will be a little challenge because it's a little lengthy and a little philosophical. Please take up this challenge to listen with rapt attention. Hare Krishna. When an intelligent person engages constantly in worshipping me through loving devotional service as described by me, his heart becomes firmly situated in me. In other words, by this continuing to engage, he will become firmly situated in Krishna in his heart. He will have an experience of Naishti Bhakti. Thus all material desires within the heart are destroyed. Then it goes on, the knot in the heart, this is my clue to you now, the knot in the heart is pierced, all misgivings are cut to pieces, and the chain of fruitive action is terminated, then I am seen as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is said that complete detachment is the highest stage of freedom. Therefore, one who has no personal desire and does not pursue personal rewards can achieve loving devotional service unto me. Notice his motive should be he wants to please Krishna, and he tries, and the Lord will help in ways. I became exposed to this concept, which made a whole paradigm change in me on a flight from Bombay to Paris. From Paris we had a connecting flight to Frankfurt, and we really needed to pick up the connecting flight because we needed to be in Frankfurt at a certain time due to certain organizational reasons. So when we were flying in the airplane, there was next to me a person who had introduced himself as an air pilot, and we had just struck up a light philosophical conversation, just conversating. Then he interrupted me. Do you know, by the way, he said, that we are off course? Of course means in this way, maybe I don't say it right in English, away from our proper course to Frankfurt, to Paris. We are off course. So I was in a very philosophy. Wanted to carry on with the point. It did not worry too much. Then after 50 minutes, he said, "Do you know, by the way, that we are again off course?" And then I thought he wanted to subtly criticize my points. But then, no, he... yes, I said, became a little... How do you mean this, of course? We are no longer on the right airway to Frankfurt. Oh, you were already 50 minutes, of course. Yes, he said. Then after... It came up again and again and again. finally I said, well, now I'm getting seriously worried. Will we arrive at Paris? I do have a connecting flight and I'm a little attached to make it in time. He said, yes, of course. And then I said, can you please explain your mysterious revelations? And he then said to me, do you know that 99% during the flying time the plane is off course, away from the course? That's why you need a pilot. He always corrects it. Because there are such high waves, winds up there, that speaking strictly the beeline, we are off course. I'm flying there, here, and it goes all with some detours or no, and diversions. All of it. Therefore, we must correct. In the same way, when we are, Prabhupada explains this very nicely in the ninth canto, verse 34. He speaks about devotees being saintly even if they err. He says, we are spirits in the material world, spiritual souls in the material world, and we do have a conditioned nature. Ideally it is when the conditioned nature goes parallel and there is no disturbance. But very often the conditioned nature offers also disturbances and brings us a little bit, we get sick, we get in the lecture we fall asleep, or by when we chant Hare Krishna, boom, we fall asleep, or then we have all these misplaced glances where we go through the town, all of a sudden our eyes stick at a cinema poster which is not exactly sattvic in contents, and our conditioned nature is we begin to quarrel, or we get into the fault finding mentality, and that's very often there, or we are interested in politics and so on and so forth. Our conditioned nature sometimes brings us off course, like the winds high up in the sky. It's not a problem. It is to be expected. It can become a problem if we don't acknowledge this and say, oops, and go back on the Krishna conscious path. See, this also, it brings a very important point. When this happens and you are not so successful, maybe in rising up, you slept too long and you feel still tired and all the things, or you do that is to be expected. Just try to correct it, and no need to feel so much of a guilt. At the same time, be careful in just pasting it over and live with these attachments, because one thing you must be convinced of, that material enjoyment leads to misery. This is a very important understanding. If you have not been solidly convinced, you must study Sankhya, you must study logic, you must study talk with devotees who are convinced like this. One thing which convinces me always very much is it's an ontological position about desire, the attempt to fulfill material desires. When you do this, it's not that the desire is quenched, but mysteriously two desires, the double strong desire is born. It's not possible. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives this example in Kalyana Kalpataru. He says, if I fulfill one desire, two desires are born. In other words, there is, one time on the radio, someone asked me, what's wrong about fulfilling desires? And I said, it's very simple. It's not possible. It's a lie. You can't fulfill them. They are always going on and on and on. And the verse from the Bhagavatam is, it's like a fire when you try to put benzene or nourishment. It becomes stronger, not weaker. It's a lie. It's a false promise. No one has ever been satisfied. It's not that you just go in some corner and as a gentleman you finish this and then you're finished and go on with your life. No, no. It doesn't work like this. You are misled by just by ignorance on the matter. Yes. So this conviction needs to be there. If this is not there, one cannot repent his foolishness for going off the course and thinking there's some benefit. If this understanding is there, then this process works very nicely. Very nicely. Prabhupada, he says, first one must be convinced that the soul is different from the matter. This is a first. This is actually where our Hare Krishna movement starts on this platform. It is, you are not the body, or aham brahmasmi. It is a very, this is our philosophical ground. This is the stage on which we can perform. If the stage is not there, our performance will not be very elegant or whatever, not successful. Good. Yes. So, yes. So, now comes the question, so coming back to Shraddha, faith. Bhakti is born from Shraddha, from firm faith, and for that we need a soul, the enthusiasm. How can we get an enthusiasm back? What can we do to get enthusiasm? I would like to now ask you to please give us in one sentence your secret. How do you get enthusiasm? What makes you enthusiastic in spiritual life? I think it's very beneficial to hear from everyone's what works for everyone. Please give authentic answers. Mm-hmm. Happiness makes one enthusiastic.
And I experience that when I do something that's connected somehow with the power, with the then I feel a happiness. When I do something else, it's not there, there's something lacking.
Yeah.
And that realization keeps me going.
Thank you very much. I will repeat it for the tape listening posterity. Happiness makes me enthusiastic, which comes when I do something in connection with Srila Prabhupada, the books. This was Brahma Muhurta, I feel other things can't supply this. It is there. So then I become enthusiastic when I feel this happiness and devotion and service. Mm-hmm. Yes, Muni Raj. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Hearing of the lives of great saints develops a desire in me to attain that stage also, and seeing that they are happier than me, I just feel enthused. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu.
The prophet says many times that enthusiasm comes from falling prejudice.
Yes.
I don't know that I understand quite how that actually works on a spiritual or a physiological or whatever it says. I do know from experience that it's true. And I can often tell that when some enthusiasm wanes, I do feel a sort of increase in that area. And when I'm more and more careful about it, enthusiasm increases. I know there's an empirical connection anyway.
Yeah.
So that's on the one side, right, the following regular principle. And the other side of it is in the face of discouragement. By looking at Srila Prabhupada's life and how he was constantly confronted by discouragement and obstacles,
mm-hmm.
he remained enthusiastic.
Yeah.
And so just from that example, I understand that discouragement is not allowed.
Two points. Srila Prabhupada, Ravindra Swabhu says, Srila Prabhupada said enthusiasm comes from following the rules and regulations of devotional service. And the second is his example. When one is in the face of discouragement, and remembers Srila Prabhupada, who was often surrounded by such situations which were discouraging, and how he enthusiastically went on, one could see discouragement is not allowed. Srinivas Prabhu. If one seriously continues with devotional service with whatever responsibility one gets. In one letter, Srila Prabhupada speaks about sources of enthusiasm, and he mentions following the rules and regulations. He mentions our regular program, as he says, as going out for the morning program, following the morning program, and he mentions also going out for the street sankirtan at all, and so. There is another source of enthusiasm which is very, very powerful. It's the association of devotees who are properly engaged and convinced in their Krishna consciousness. That's another source as well. And I don't know, I found I was once corresponding with one of my devotee friends, and asked him what gives him enthusiasm, and he wrote to find a shelter, and I found this answer so good that I want to creatively add this to the list. What he meant is one can feel at home even as a sannyasi who may not have who may travel widely and widespreadly, also in other ways than just a house and so on. He says one can feel a home, for instance, when one finds out his swadharma, or what one can do for Krishna, and does this, and it helps a lot. For instance, when you find out what can you do for the Lord, what is there, and you just focus on that, it becomes very, it is amazing, it works very much. Another thing is home, to do something which gives you taste. An artist, for instance, says, I'm at home in painting. It's not that he has a house. he feels at home, just maybe sitting in the nature and painting something. So something, some activities in devotional service within the regular program or in devotional service where you can find a taste, where you want to offer this to the Lord. When I think nowadays where we all have an creeping realization, or let me say, creeping sounds so creepy, an increasing suspicion that we need to do something to be properly situated, that at least is a Q-word in the North European preaching area. This might help a little to find out what you can do for the Lord, and what you do have a taste. It's a simple point, but it is very, very good. I wish to say something private here. because we know each other, we are in the family. I can't do many things. I'm not educated in anything. I'm very, simple person, actually, a little creative maybe, but basically simple. And Prabhupada wrote me in my the letter for initiation that I should preach Krishna consciousness. Just do this, follow the four rules and regulations, chant 16 rounds, and at the end of the life you will go back to Godhead for sure. He gave such a promise. This has nothing to do with any special quality. He wrote this to many. In my own devotional life, I became convinced, due to many situations, that this seems to be something I liked at least to do, and I can do it to some extent. I can't do driving or other important things, and I'm just trying to focus on this as much as I can when I've done everything, reading, chanting, and so on. I think now what to do in the field of preaching. There are always things to do, writing. Even if I'm somewhere, I can write letters, can write an article, can just focus on this as a mission. This is very important that devotees find out such missions which they can do in the service of their spiritual masters, and then they are at home wherever they are. They just have this feeling of childhood. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's all right. And so on. It's a little point. Good. To sum up the lecture, enthusiasm is the soul of faith. It means the Sanskrit word utsaha, together with the Lord. Ut means out of the material field, and then saha, with the Lord, that gives a good understanding of what it is. When we do feel that there are sources of discouragement, we should continue the regular process of hearing about Krishna and glorifying him. The Lord says we should remain happy. We should avoid this mistake of thinking it's alright. We should repent it. Never try again, and so on. And what else? There was not so much more. And not feel discouraged if our conditional nature sometimes getting in the way. We can just correct it and go on. I wish you all the best. Keep your enthusiasm alive. These are the times to work on this. And I think that we do this. Krishna will send. Don't forget this magical thing about enthusiasm. It is, there are books out which sometimes have been quoted. Some soup for the soul. Where they somehow bring many examples of people who just have lost even a leg, and then they become the best mountain climbers because they're enthusiastic and don't become discouraged, and so on. And many such stories. And anyways, we have our examples. Haridas Thakur, who was, even persecuted violently, just kept Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, so on, kept on going. It was helped by the Lord, because the Lord helps, Krishna helps the devotee whose enthusiasm. He becomes attracted by this. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Do you have any questions or comments to this? Yes,
Balavanta was talking actually about this political part of it, and it's really fun part that how proud of the devotees are really excited about this program. The prophet said, excited? that isn't that good. the Prabhupada stopped saying, and who is Srila Prabhupada? Then Prabhupada said, that's okay. The difference between excitement and enthusiasm.
Oh, very good, yes. Yes, it's very important. Thank you very much for the enthusiasm. We in the past have sometimes made this almost passionate for us. Prabhupada does give a definition of enthusiasm, which I've written down somewhere, where it becomes clear that it is not this passionate excitement like the Vikings, you know, who were enthusiastic to conquer foreign shores. He says, he defines enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness by saying, endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called enthusiasm. Three factors are there to build up this feeling: endeavor, intelligence, and Krishna consciousness. These three things must be there. This is a very complete. If we stay in this circle, endeavor, enthusiasm, and Krishna consciousness. Endeavor and intelligence. That means we apply higher intelligence, the scriptures, shastras, and then we are also in Krishna consciousness. For you, Krishna, we try to do this service for you, please. It is not very perfect, but please, it is meant for you at least. You know, this is enthusiasm, yes. Excited. Oh, this is not very good. This is very nice. Such a book, I think, is of what also be very befitting about Prabhupada. The book which would make clear how he's on a transcendental level always. That is so inspiring. Such you're forced to think, why is it not good to be excited? I thought it was alright. The devotees are excited about it. Oh, it has to do with passion. And that's so wonderful about Prabhupada, that in even the small comments he's fully there, as a fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, into in the philosophy and so on. Good. Any other? Yes, Mahamuni. Writings. Yes, this is a quotation from Baladev Vidya Bhushana. He says, one becomes discouraged if one loses enthusiasm when one sees one cannot accomplish. There are two. When we talk of enthusiasm, there is another transition. It goes from utsahamayi, false enthusiasm, to a firm conviction in devotional service, which is called naishti bhakti. In the beginning, a devotee is naishti, is enthusiastic, but due to external things only. And then when he becomes firm, fixed, he becomes more deeper. The example which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur offers is of a Brahmin boy who is presented with a book, and he is very enthusiastic. I've entered the world of the grown-up, the Brahmanas, but he can't read. So in the same way as a devotee, in the beginning, maybe I remember when I got my first dhoti, I was so enthusiastic. It was like a sign of acknowledgement. I remember Hemavati had dyed the dhoti in bright saffron. I was a little bigger than she had thought, so the dhoti ended almost at the knee pits. But didn't matter, I was so enthusiastic. Finally, I've been accepted in the devotee, and I immediately put it on and went on Sankirtan alone, you know, to just show off a little, you know. So enthusiastic, it was external. Then later, yes, one understood, well, one has to become deep and understood, one has to learn to read Krishna consciousness, one has to study the philosophy, understand it. But you were speaking, this transition is there in enthusiasm. At first is sporadic because it's external, and then there's some disturbance on the external field. You lose your enthusiasm, but then enthusiasm is based more on a deeper understanding, and even if the external field is disturbed, you are not. But you were speaking about confidence and enthusiasm. Yes, it is a fact in the beginning, one is a little bit on the I am the doer mentality, and it goes away when one becomes Krishna conscious. Katam iti manyate is a materialistic concept, and to feel like an instrument in the hands of the Lord, like Prabhupada said, my Lord, make me dance, I'm just a doll in your hand, I have no ability of my own. That is a more Krishna conscious understanding. I think this understanding you are asking about, the transition from the one to the more, from the beginner's confidence to the, which is based on his own ability, to the more advanced confidence, which is on the, based on the feeling of protection of the Lord. I really think it is, has to do a lot also with experience. Many of us have experienced that devotional service gets good in your life, and you understand you can't do this alone, and you pray to Krishna. I remember very much these scenes. We had these very 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 ecstatic preaching tours where we sometimes had up to, I mean, on our high days, Gauranga Bhajan group had 33,000 people, most of them dancing in ecstasy at the end of the program. Then we had a smaller endeavor, the Nityananda group, we had like a hall of 10,000 Serbs before us, and it's a difficult crowd. They're extremely temperamental, and so on. And I remember everyone, even the sometimes a little, I mean, even the drummer who is a little, everyone was just sticking on the curtain, is praying intensely, please, we can't do this, this is too much to you know, our idea was overwhelming the crowd with the holy name. That was our secret agenda. There were times when we got bombed on the stage. You know, it's dangerous. And I think it comes after you have made many experiences that you can't do it alone, and you become a little humble also. This confidence in the Lord protection is something which has to do with humility, and also I would say experience. You've made some positive experiences. Hare Krishna. We have now 5 minutes past nine. Thank you very much. Shri Shri Gandhavi Kagiri Dhari Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Go.